Hey, and welcome to the New Mama Marriage Bliss Show. I want to help you get out of the overwhelming distance and guide you to reconnect to yourself and to your husband. You know you want things to be different, but you're probably not sure how to make it happen. Well, Mama, you're in the right place. Here we will dive into all the things you need to start loving your life and relationship and start living like soulmates and not roommates anymore. We will dive into motherhood, marriage, communication, holistic inspiration, and practical hacks and tips. Mama, I believe that transformation and deep connection await you. Hi, I'm Aliza Saeed, proud mama and grateful wife, and the Mama Marriage Coach. You too can turn your mess into magic. Come on, Mama, and let's do it together. Hey there, mamas, and welcome back to the New Mama Marriage Bliss Show. I'm Aliza Saeed, the Mama Marriage Coach, and I'm glad you're here. Thank you for choosing to listen. In the Jewish calendar, these are some of the most important days of the year. Yesterday, we finished off Rosh Hashanah, which is the Jewish New Year, and next week is going to be Yom Kippur, which is a day of forgiveness. And all these days in between are kind of like supercharged days for introspection and self-development, kind of on steroids, but without the steroids. Today, I really want to talk about forgiveness. And it's something that comes up so much with work with couples, and sometimes it's something that is really underlying without even noticing it. There really are two sides to forgiveness. There's the side that's asking for forgiveness, and there's the side of forgiving someone else. And they're both really challenging in their own ways. Just yesterday, I was at the park with my kids, and one of my children, I don't remember exactly what it was that he did. I think he threw like rocks down the slide thinking that he was going to make a huge pile, but he didn't realize that there was someone sitting on the bottom. They were like little pebbles, not rocks. That sounds a little scary. But anyways, this little girl was sitting on the bottom and she didn't like the little pebbles coming down on her and she started crying. And I came to my son and I asked him what happened. And he said, and I saw that he was like having this inner struggle of like, should I say it? Should I not? Should I say it? Should I not? And he finally said, I dropped the pebbles down the slide. And I said, okay, so now we're going to go over and say sorry to that little girl that it wasn't so nice for her to get those pebbles raining down on her. And I saw his face, how he like really took responsibility. He held my hand and we went over to that little girl to say sorry. And this is something, you know, kind of small, but in those moments, it really made me think of the bravery and the courage that you need in order to be able to ask forgiveness. You're actually really, you have to be so vulnerable. You have to be able to take responsibility for what you did, for maybe a mistake that you made, whether it was intentionally or not intentionally. And you have to be willing to own up to it and then be able to change something, which is really huge. You have to go through the shame. You have to go through sometimes like just pure embarrassment of what you did. Sometimes having to challenge what you thought of what you did. And it really, really, you need so much courage and bravery. So it's hard. It's hard to be able to ask for forgiveness. Why is it hard to forgive? Well, we could do a whole nother episode just on that. But one reason is that we think that if we forgive someone, then we're giving permission to whatever it is that hurt us. It's as if we're saying that it's okay. I'm okay with whatever you did. I'm willing to agree with whatever you did. And that's not something we want to do. Well, I believe that there are three different levels of forgiveness. And this is an idea that I heard, and I really love it ever since I heard it. Now, whoever has already been following me for a while knows that I like to use Hebrew words a lot because they really have a much deeper meaning. The way that the word is has much more meaning than just the literal meaning. So in Hebrew, there are three different words in Hebrew. Now, these teachings are really based on the Kabbalah and deeper ancient wisdom in Judaism. So there are three different words in Hebrew for forgiveness. And those three words really teach us about these three levels of forgiveness. The first word is slicha. And slicha is really the word that we use in day-to-day, you know, like when you bump into someone, you say, oh, slicha, oh, sorry. And that's the more common word that we use. But if we switch around the letters like we do a lot, the word is chasal. Now, chasal means finished. The first part of forgiving is not about giving permission at all, like we said, is the fear. It's not about being okay with whatever was done to you. It's about deciding that you want to finish with the hurt and the pain. You're ready to go forward. People who walk around life with something unresolved, they walk around really heavy with that burden. It stops them from the vitality of life. Having the courage to be able to forgive is essentially saying, I want to go on with life and I want to finish the pain. It doesn't mean that you should skip the pain or the anger or the sadness or whatever hard things come up for you. All of those are really important parts of the process. And this is not our topic. You need to feel all those feels. But then once you get to a place of forgiveness, that once you were able to feel all the feelings that you went through, then it's really about deciding, okay, I want to finish the pain, I want to finish the hurt, and I want to go on to the next level. Now, what's the next level? The next level, or the second word for forgiveness in Hebrew, is mechila. Now, mechila literally also means a tunnel, because here is where you have to really carve out a tunnel to your soul and take it one step further. The word mechila comes from the same word as machol, which is rejoice or dance. King David says in Psalms, where he writes all about his life and all the different turbulence that he went through in his life. So there's a verse there that he says, "Hafachta mispedi lemacholi." You turn my mourning into dance for me. The word dance is the word machol. The next level is being able to understand how this pain has transformed you and your relationship with the person that you're going through this with. It's about understanding that there's a reason for those dips in the road, that there's a purpose to the pain. The word mechila can also be machala. Machala is a disease, because a person who doesn't know how to turn it into the dance, how to turn it into a place of rejoicing and learning from that place, so it can really become a disease. It could become something that inflicts pain upon us when we don't forgive. And it could be whether it's physically or mentally. There's things that we carry with us that just have such a heavy burden throughout life. I really want to mention here that forgiveness is not just about the big things. It's not just about when someone does something really horrible to you. It's also about just the little day-to-day things that happen. I mentioned in one of our previous podcasts that I kind of see it as like this brick wall. That, let's talk about our relationship with our husband. So throughout the day, there could be these little frustrations that happen. Like maybe he forgot to, I don't know, I just had a client who said, close the toilet seat. So maybe he forgot to close the toilet seat, and that added this little frustration. So imagine that you have this imaginary brick wall, and once there's this little frustration, they're like, oh, I can't believe he did that again. There goes a little brick on the wall in between you. And then another little thing happens. He didn't make the kids' lunches, and there you are. You got to do it all by yourself again. And there's another little frustration that you have that you're adding to this brick wall. So here we have these little bricks that we're building up from time to time. Forgiveness is really about learning how to finish those bricks, like not even get to adding it to your wall, by turning it into forgiveness, by being able to forgive for those little things, seeing the toilet seat not closed and say, okay, yeah, that's frustrating. I will mention it to my husband, but I'm going to forgive him for that. And I'm not going to continue on with the pain, with the hurt, with the anger, with the guilt, with the blame, whatever it is that you're going on with. I'm going to finish that, and I'm going to go on, and I'm going to then know how to ask for forgiveness from him, or how to communicate it with him. But I'm not going to continue dragging on these uncozy feelings with me throughout the day towards my husband, because that's just going to bring me to more bricks and a thicker wall in between me and him. So forgiveness is not just about the big things. It's really about learning how to practice every day the power of forgiveness and find those little moments of forgiving and not gathering those little frustrations in the day to day. The third level of forgiveness is kapara, which literally means atonement or switching one thing for the other. So the first one we said is finishing it, deciding that you want to finish the pain and go on to something else. The second one is being able to turn it into something that we rejoice, learning how to transform that pain, learning how to add purpose to whatever it was that was going on, learning how to really accept all those things that happen to us in life as a stepping stone. And then the third level is really to be able to do it in action and switch that pain for growth, to decide to use these situations as growth spurts for your relationship. It's so easy to drag hurt on for years, yet it feels so much lighter to finish with the pain, to let it go and continue on rejoicing in growth. So after going through these levels of forgiveness, it really changes how we see forgiveness, because forgiving someone is not about doing a favor for the other person, like he's asking for forgiveness and I have to give him this favor. It's not about doing it for the other person. It's about doing a favor for yourself, for taking off that burden and being able to continue on in happiness, in joy, in thankfulness. I don't even know if that's a word. I don't know. I made it one now. For all of these events that happen in life, in order for us to be able to then switch the pain for growth, for introspection, for learning how to grow from every single thing that happens. And the opposite is also true. When we don't forgive someone else, it hurts you more than it even hurts the other person. And there are so many times that the other person doesn't even know if I forgive them or not. And that's not even really always the most important. It's really about what you're going through inside. If you are inside going through the work of forgiveness towards yourself, towards others, towards all the people around us, because once you're able to go through forgiveness, then you're able to go through life, with happiness, with purpose. And that's really our purpose here in this world. So we spoke a little bit about forgiving. Now I want to finish off just with a few tips for asking forgiveness from your husband. So I hear this a lot from clients about how he said he's sorry, but I still don't accept it. And I just don't really believe it. And I think, you know, whatever. There's so many ways that it can go wrong, even when you're asking for forgiveness. So the first thing I want to say, sorry if you might be hearing planes going over. I don't know if you could hear it. And I tried stopping and re-recording, but they just keep going over. So I'm recording. If you hear this noise, just know they're, I don't know, practicing with like these jets right over my house right now as I'm recording. All right. Anyways, back to forgiveness. So the first thing is, I hear so many times when a spouse says to their partner, "I'm so sorry if I hurt you." Now, once you say, "if I hurt you," that means I'm not putting my whole heart into what you're going through. I'm not validating your feelings. I'm still saying, "if," I'm giving a condition. Maybe it did, maybe it didn't. And that's not a good way to start. So we're going to start off by saying, "I'm sorry I hurt you." And let's validate what the other person is feeling. Validate whatever is going on. Number two, it has to be really genuine and real. If you're still angry and you're not going to ask forgiveness from a real place, take a moment, go through those feelings, and then come back when you're going to be able to ask forgiveness because you want to, not because your spouse is expecting it. Number three is to really be able to express true regret. Express to your spouse what you feel about what you've done, what you feel about how they're feeling because of what you've done. Really let the empathy shine. Let the compassion go through whatever it is that you're saying. Really express that you are sorry about what happened. Number four, is don't leave it just at sorry. But then I also want you to suggest action steps that you can take to fix what was done. You can suggest them and have your spouse choose what is the right thing for them, for your relationship. Maybe you can decide together, but really suggest, okay, I'm so sorry that I did this. What do you think if I X, Y, and Z? Now, I'm not talking about being able to bribe the other person, and I'm not, but I'm talking about really a genuine desire to fix what was done. Number five is actually change your actions. It's not just about what you say, but usually it's mainly about what you actually do. So if you're asking for forgiveness for not closing the toilet seat, I'm using a very mundane example here because I also want it to be that forgiveness is about something that we do all the time. And it doesn't only have to be the really hard things. The really hard things are usually harder, but once we practice it in the day-to-day things, then it also becomes easier when it's harder things because we learn how to, I don't want to say brush things off because then it sounds like we don't give importance to anything, but we learn how to really finish things and continue on in life. So anyways, back to the toilet being closed. So actually change your actions means that you're not just asking for forgiveness. Oh, I'm so sorry I didn't close the toilet. Or I guess that would be the husband. That was the example I gave before. Anyways, got a little complicated here with my example. But let's say your husband is saying, so sorry I didn't close the toilet here. But then he'll also say, maybe he'd suggest an action. Do you mind reminding me? Or maybe we'll put a little note on the bottom of the toilet seat so that I remember, or maybe some kind of sticker. And then actually change your actions means that you gotta actually do it. And when not, be sensitive of the fact. Don't pretend like it never happened. Be sensitive and go back and change. It's okay to make mistakes. We all make mistakes, but they're there for learning. And the last tip that I want to give you for forgiveness is really that later, once the anger and hurt have calmed down, try and think together what you've learned about each other and your relationship from whatever has happened. You could think of it like every time there's some kind of episode that you're forgiving one another, you're ending one chapter and starting another, and you get to choose how you're going to start that chapter. What are you going to learn from the chapter that you just finished? And what are you going to take on in order to go forward with rejoice and with growth and with changing that pain and that hurt into really great things? All right, mamas, I want to send to all of you lots of love, lots of power of forgiveness, lots of vulnerability, courage, bravery to really show up and forgive, be forgiven, and just learn to love completely, wholly, with your whole heart. Lots of love, mamas. See you here next time. Did you know that for 83% of couples, the arrival of their first child brings on a marital crisis? While having a baby is so exciting, it's also exhausting and confusing. Most new parents find themselves with less time, less energy, and their marriage is usually the first to suffer. Well, I'm here to help. It's not enough to just go to birth classes, and I'm telling you this as a birth doula and child birth educator. You actually need to prepare your marriage for a new baby. You might be facing so many different fears about childbirth and postpartum, how you're going to get through it together without building up resentment, bitterness, or frustrations. Well, we can do this together. For a limited time only, I am now offering expecting couples, whether it's your first or your 21st baby, or newly postpartum couples, to two intense sessions together. We will prepare, we will clarify, and we will create a blueprint towards bliss. You'll also get a workbook, resources that will help you in your postpartum journey, and email support with me. If you're interested for you, or you want to gift a friend or a loved one, this awesome offer, DM me today for more details.